Yes, that's right. And that's right. A very good morning to you. A very good morning to you, Namibia. Good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome to Eagle FM. So our time is about 6 minutes past the hour of eight. It's a Thursday morning. It's an Ascension day. It's a public holiday. You're probably sitting at home or sleeping. Still could, you could be still in bed. Especially in Windhoek, because that could be a bit cold, or any other place that is really cold. You could be just lying in bed, you know, listening to Eagle FM. So, thanks for joining us, and yeah, you are at the right station. This is Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. So, and at this morning, thanks for joining me. Thanks for joining me at this point in time. So, it's always a pleasure for us to be in your company. So my name is Mike Oshaveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. You're tuning in Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and the numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, and always curious and asking the questions at that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning, and if you're just joining us, welcome. And as usual, we go back into history. So we look at what happened on this day in Africa. Today is the 14th. So good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners across the continent and around the world. So welcome to On This Day segment, On This Day in Africa. So today we are taking a trip through the history book to look at some major moments that shape our continent. Now let's kick things off in 1955. On this day, a Sudanese woman officially won the right to vote. So this was really, really, really a massive step forward for the gender equality in that country. So it happened on this day in 1955. Fast forward to 1984, and we land in West Africa. President Thomas Sankara decided his country needed a new name, you know, because they just got independent. So they needed a new name, that also a name that truly represent its people. So he changed it, and he changed it from Upper Volta to Burkina Faso. So, and that translates to the land of upright or honest people, the land of upright or a land of honest people. So, and now, moving to 1986, we have a tough moment in history. It was on this day that Winnie Mandela was sent to prison. This happened during the dark days of apartheid in South Africa. And her sentence was tied to the kidnapping and assault of a young activist. So then 3 years later, in 1989, the land of the brave started actually tearing down its own apartheid laws with the backing of the United Nations, and the country began this huge cleanup, you know, as a first step towards getting its full independence. So, which finally happened in 1990. So, and let's look at 1993. Nelson Mandela and President and South African President then President F.W. de Klerk were awarded a major international peace prize for their work together to bring an end to apartheid. It was a huge moment of recognition for a peaceful transition of power. And today in Malawi on the 14th of May, May the 14th is celebrated as a Kamuzu Banda. So it's a Kamuzu Day in Malawi, honoring the birthday of Hastings Kamuzu Banda, the country's first president. So the day recognizes his role in leading Malawi to independence and also his contribution to the nation's early development. So, well, that is your history for today. And thanks for tuning in to On This Day in Africa. So I hope we're definitely going to catch you next time. All right. So 12 minutes passing the hour of 8. And good morning if you're just joining us. Today, thought of the day. What is our thought for the day? So quite simple. Today, our thought for the day is very, 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 very simple. You know, time is money. Okay? Time is money. That means every minute matters. So when you hear people say time is money, that means every minute matters. You know, when you waste time, you are not just losing minutes. You know, you are losing chances to grow. As a person, probably you're losing chances to grow. You're losing chances to work. You know, you're losing chances to learn and actually to move your life forward. So let us use our time wisely today. Okay? Let us use our time wisely today. So be focused, be intentional, and do things that matter most. Do the things that matter most. Well, that's our thought for the day today. So, and wherever you find yourself, make sure that you do the things that matter most. All right. So there we are. So here we are. Here we are. So it's a public holiday. So it's Ascension Day. And many of you probably, you know, having a rest. Possibly, you know, and welcome. And I think, you know, it's good to have you here. And the thing is, it's good that you actually still tune in. So what are we talking about? Yesterday, there has been, this was an article in the Villager yesterday. There has been a Namibia EU business forum actually taking place in Windhoek, and at that forum, the Namibia Green Hydrogen Program representative outlined the nation's ambitions, progress in developing its green hydrogen industry. So the emphasizing now value addition, job creation, and regional development across the key production zones in the country, while also highlighting both significant investment achieved and challenges that remain to be addressed. So we're going to look at that article by HD, by Hende Awalenga. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the progress that progress report that has been given, or issues that are key to a green hydrogen program in the country. So, and on the same forum, the European Union has extended its strategic partnership with Namibia to 2030, really signaling a deepened collaboration focused on on issues like renewable energy, critical raw minerals, and industrial development, with the idea to develop or to strengthen economic ties and create a sustainable growth opportunities for both regions, for both for Namibia and European Union. We definitely gonna just focus on European Union, on this EU, Namibia EU Business Forum, and looking at some of the issues that's coming out there. So make sure that you are part of that. Your participation will also be part of the show, of course, as usual, as you know. So make sure that you're on holiday. Come on. So let's have a good discussion. Let's, if you see there are some issues that are coming out of this discussion. All right. So when we come back, we get into it. Stay tuned.
Omutiha wete kira kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na na nonge shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakudo nirandi toma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pime meha uo kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yo mo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, konaraje tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari jamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back and a very good morning to you if you're just joining us now. Good morning to you. You are tuning to Unpacking the Day on your favorite station, Eagle FM. So I'm Michael Chavetti. Well, today we are taking a close look at Namibia's ambitions in the green hydrogen industry, a sector that is being hailed, or it has been hailed, as the next big thing for our country's industrial future, and also for job creation and regional development. So. Yeah, and there's an article yesterday. There's an article in yesterday's edition of the Villager by HD about what we're talking about. So make sure also that you subscribe for the Villager so that you don't miss out on development stories in your an update and business and economics. Issues that happening in and around the country. So don't miss out. Don't miss out on very updated stories and articles or issues about business and economic and of course politics as well. So yeah, Namibia, as in this regard, really in this regard, you know, Namibia is not just another. It's not just another African country chasing green hydrogen or green energy, energy dream. Namibia, we have got, you know, out there, we have got it all. I think we have sun in plenty, in abundance, you know, we have sun in abundance throughout the year. So we have really sun in abundance. We have wind in plenty, a vast open space that make us That really, this is what makes us actually a natural candidate to become a global green hydrogen player. So, and, you know, some other countries, the good things, other countries ex, you know, let's say, for example, Brazil, you know, when it comes to meat, it's a country that is known as, you know, that's the area that they focus on very much. So sometimes we have resources that we don't really, which advantage, kind of a business advantage, you know, we have an edge. This is a business edge or economic edge over other countries, and we don't manipulate that. We don't take advantage of that and really become, you know, the leading, you know, and even on the level, on a global level. So because of our these resources, that these natural resources that we have, sun in abundance and wind is so much as well. So we, as I said, we are the natural candidate to become a global green hydrogen players. So at the recent recent Namibia EU Business Forum, the Namibian Green Hydrogen Program gave an update on how far we actually have come, and importantly, where the road is still looks dark and rocky. So yeah, so let's look at that. Let's get into that. So that's what we want to look at now. But as always, I always like to give you a bigger context of what happened. So now, so this week then, EU, Namibia EU Business Forum, the interim head of the Namibia Green Hydrogen Program, Mr. Joseph Mukendwa, he took the stage to give the nation a progress report. Now, he told, you know, those who were in attendance, said, of course, he told that since 2022, when this whole green hydrogen dream was first put on paper, the plan has shifted gears. So it has shifted gears. And the new emphasis really is, you know, are things that we probably are things that that the country desperately needs. You know, we're talking about value addition. Now, the new emphasis are really three things. So value addition, job creation, and closing that nasty inequality gap that has been haunting this country since independence. And continue to do that. So those are the three areas, the three things that the new plan or the new shift, the new emphasis is a value addition, job creation, and closing inequality gap. So, well, this is the song, and everybody sings anyway. You know, there comes a time when something becomes like the aspect. When you have a speech or something, of course you throw that in. You know, value addition, you know, job creation, and I can tell you, I think, and many of you can be able to do this. You can literally can figure out what someone can talk about these days. You know, I can tell you, they cannot go a minute or so without mentioning one of these: value addition, job creation, those two things, yeah, and inequality gap, yeah. Yeah, so sometimes those are just thrown in there, you know, are thrown in there as a part, as the thing, yeah, because if you haven't mentioned that, so you look as if you're not addressing the real thing in the country. So, yeah. Yeah, Mukendwa now. Mukendwa said the program shifted gear from its original 2022 formulation to focus on creating local opportunities. So, and that is important. I think that's an important admission. That's an important admission. It means that the original plan was not centered on the It was not centered on Namibians. If we're saying, seriously, I mean, read between the lines. Read between the lines. It means that the original one, you know, the original plan was actually not centered on Namibians, because now we're saying we want now to create a local opportunities. So what it means that the original one was not centered on Namibians. It was centered on the export. And I said, it's very important. It's an important admission. You know, it was centered on exports. It was centered on supplying Europe's energy needs. That's how it was it was centered. The whole mission, it was supplying Europe's energy needs. So that's why he's talking about the shift of gears. Yeah. Now, the pivot towards value addition, towards local industrialization, towards now closing the inequality gap, that pivot happened because there was, because enough people really asked the right questions. And we need to keep asking. So that shift has happened because, yeah, there are people now asking the right questions. And as I said, we need to do that. We need to continue to do that. Yeah, now, if we go on the ground, I mean, if we're really on the ground, some of the update now that he has given, if you go on the ground, Namibia has identified 3 green hydrogen valleys. There are 3 hydrogen valleys. So there's a southern valley, mainly in Karas and Hardap. And then you have a central valley around Rongo. And then you have the northern valley in Kunene. So currently, there are about 6 projects in the central valley and 3 in the southern valley at a different stage of development. And the northern valley is just starting to gain attention as well. So, yeah, in some way, you know, in some way, there has been some genuine progress. Look, in March, this last year, in March 2025, the high iron and Sivela project near Arandes began producing green iron, you know. So that is sub-Saharan Africa, you know, first green iron production. So as I said, there is some genuine grain, there's something that is tangible. I mean, that we can tangible. Although it's not on a, I think it's not on a industrial scale, but I believe that even if they don't like to say that, I still, it's more like on a small scale, on a more pilot kind of scale. So, and the strategic environmental and the social assessment for the, now, for the Southern Valley is expected to conclude next month, I think in June. We are in May now, in June 2026. So those are the tangible progress that you can smell and touch. And the one of the Central Valley is also underway. You know, I don't like when people put things like that. It's on underway. Give us a timeline. There's more commitment and accountability to that. So, I'll come back after this.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Import? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right. Oh, like today's Sunday somehow. So if you have Imba, you don't need to carry a lot of stuff, you know, to go to church or the service. Just have your Imba and then just download it. And then, you know, you sort it out. It doesn't matter where you go. You have all the hymns in one app. So what else you want? So yeah, that's a product that you can have as well, which is, I can tell you, it come in handy. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. It's come in handy. And if you download it, I think you will thank me one day. All right. So we're talking about now that with the green hydrogen, you know, programs, there has been tangible, you know, progress, as we can see, tangible, and we can see that. But there are also concerns that these valleys that we're talking about are in some of them are in, actually majority of them are in the most remote, arid parts of the country. So, and one study estimated Namibia would need a massive desalination infrastructure just to supply the water required for the large scale hydrogen productions. So we're going to talk, of course, some of the challenges, but just to highlight, you know, some of the issues. Now the whole question is who pays for that, because it require massive money. Who maintains it? And these are the question that, well, they do not make it into the press release. So, and we're discussing them here. Now, in terms of funding, you know, in terms of funding, according to the program owns update, according to their own update, 3 years in, we have €98 million, which one comes first? 98 million euro. Okay, yeah. So I nearly said 98 euro million, you know. So you can understand. It's a holiday, yeah. So 98 euro, 98 million euro, and in grant, that has been secured, 98 million euro in grant, according to the report. To their own update, it's secured 100 million euro in actual project investment on the ground, and a potential 16 billion, you know, billion dollar US dollars in low cost loans, you know, unlocked through the Climate Investment Fund's industrial decarbonization program. So, yeah, and so far, about 900 jobs created so far, with a target of more than 30,000 jobs by 2030. So now, when you look at that on paper, those are really big numbers. Excuse me. So those are big numbers, but I want us to look at them properly. Okay, that's what we do. That's what we're here for, and that's what you want to hear. That's what you want to hear. You don't want to hear a list of things that, you know, but you want to hear when we get into deeper, when you look into this a little bit deeper, what do we see? Now, so it's just a quick look, and you pop and do reference and looking at, okay, how much that has spent, you know, this and that. And then it gives you an idea what they're talking about. So now, the 900 job today, so there are about 900 job today, 30 jobs promised by 2030. That is a 4 years away. We're only at 4 years away now. So between now and then, you know, it's just a fast check realities. Between now and then, the sector need to create roughly 29,000 more jobs within the 4 years that is left, meaning around 7,000, okay, let me see this, 30, so between around 7,250 new jobs every year, 7,250, and we're talking about in this sector, we're not talking about in a country, we're talking about just in the sector according to the promise, you know. So 7,250 new jobs every single year. So for 4 years straight. Okay? So because we say by 30,000 job promised by 2030. So, and of course, in a country where, according to the Namibia Statistic Agency, latest labor force survey, youth unemployment is sitting at 44%, 44%. And that 30,000 figure could be a life changing. I'm just saying if we saying 7,250 new jobs in that sector alone every single year, that 30,000 figure could be a life changing, could be, but promises and payslips are two different animals, those are two different animals. As Namibian, we kind of getting used to that. We kind of get used to that, to the promises. The paycheck doesn't come. So the paycheck, it doesn't come at all. As I said, it could be. Yeah. And here's another thing, okay? I think here's another thing to think about. When you look at they mentioned that 100 US, what is not US, 100 million euro, okay? The 100 million invested in a project. It sounds huge, isn't it? It sounds really, really huge. But until you remember that, just one of the flagship project, we're talking about the Hyphen project down in Lutres, was originally penciled in at around 10 billion US dollars. So the money on the ground right now is really a fraction of what the dreamer actually requires. So it's not that there's money around. So from where we are now, so maybe the question is, when you're looking at that, so from where we are now, so are we, how would I put this? Are we building a house or are we still just buying bricks? I think that, I'm just asking you to think, in terms of where we are at this point in time. So where we should be, given all these promises. So are we building a house? So are we building these sectors? Or we just, up to now, are we just probably, still just buying bricks? We haven't even started yet. Of course, there are a few small projects. I'm looking at now, giving you some of the update and also looking at what other issues that are, what other things that are there. So where are we? All right. So now, let's get back to the interim head. The interim head was honest about, he was also honest about the challenges, I think I respect that. He actually named four challenges. Financing gap, of course, the financing gap, the long-term offtake agreement, and those are very important. Infrastructure development and skills shortage. So when you look at that, then you think, where are we going? All right, where are we going? Now, let's look at one by one. Okay, just briefly look at one by one. Now, the financing gaps. Now, that means the money promised isn't all in the bank. The money that has been promised, you remember during the late President Hage Geingob, there was so much money that has been promised. That money is not in the bank. All right? It's just a promise. The grant and pledges are not the same as what? As deposit. Yeah? So deposit is the money that you have. Here it is. So grant and pledge are not deposits, okay? So it's not the money that's sitting in the bank. But we have an opportunity, which I don't know whether Namibia will take it. We have the 16 billion US dollar, in potential low-cost loan through the Climate Investment Fund. So, but it's a loan. That's a loan. And the other thing is that potential is not the same as funded. Do you understand? This, when you look at that and when we throw these figures, when you don't pay attention, when you don't read between the lines, it sounds like, oh, there are monies and all that. 16 billion, so we have a potential low-cost loan of 16 billion, so, but that's still not yet fund that available. Do you understand? This is not yet fund that's still available. That's available. It's available, but you have to take it as a loan. But you have to think first, okay, should I take that loan? When I'm already, you know, drowned in debts. Yeah? So, yeah, it sounds, you know, sometimes when these things are thrown and you're not paying attention to details, you think, oh, okay, things are rosy and great. Pay attention to details. Pay attention to details. Now, so between a loan approval and when you think, as I said, we have this potential, in low cost loans. So now between loan approval and money hitting the ground, if we have to take this, there's still a long and complicated chain of conditions that come with that, and assessment and approvals. You know that. Remember, we only have 4 years. So we only have 4 years to go. Yeah. And I can ask anyone who has worked with International Development Finance. I worked in PSI, you know, Population Service Internationals. And I can tell you, the things that companies and whatever countries go through, the chain of conditions, the assessment that are done, you know, it's just a lot. And then, you know, and the gap now, the gap between commitment and disbursement, you know, can be yes. It honestly can be yes. And we're talking about by 2030s, we should have already this and that and that. Yeah. So there's still hurdles. There's still really, really hurdles. And one of that is financials. It's a financial gap. So, and the other problem, the other problem is that we ourselves then, we ourselves do not have physical room to fill this gap. So we're talking about this financial gap, financing gaps, but we ourselves, we don't, maybe we do, but with our financing institutions are not willing to, you know, to put their money in. So that's also a problem, that this is what we want, but we don't have the money to ourselves to, you know, to put into. So we're hoping for investors. So we're looking at other, hey, put your money in. If you think this is, we're kind of looking at, okay, someone is telling you, hey, look, hey, man, you have, you know, you have sun in plenty, you have wind in plenty, you know, why don't you anything? You know, why don't you do something? You know, this is gold. Eh? This is gold. And we're looking at them, well, yeah, if you think this is gold, then yeah, put in your money. We're not going to put in our money. So if you think this is gold, okay. Where's the mullah? Okay. So that's what we're doing. So we don't have the physical room to really, you know, fill the gap, this gap. But we're talking about, we shift gears. We have the direction on paper, but there's no commitment to it. I can just say that. And paper, there's there, but these are challenges, are huge, huge, huge challenges. You know, they're not, if there are no investors from outside ourselves, it's highly impossible to actually invest into it. You know? So the other thing, we look also, the program head also talked about the long-term offtake agreements. These are very important. This is the big one. I must say, this is the big area, which is a problem. So, because, ladies and gentlemen, you know, an offtake agreement is when a foreigner buyer now, remember, actually saying this, that we actually have shifted now. So we said we have shifted gears, but we actually try to still to reach the same, you know? Yeah. Let's get to the caller quickly.
Foreigner buyer now.
A very good morning, man.
Remember, actually saying big.
I'm hearing myself. Good morning.
Yes, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
It's okay, man. Brother, sorry to cut you off because I know it's not time, but we are using the time off we lost yesterday.
Yeah.
No, it's just a joke.
I get that, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, you know Mike, man?
Yeah.
For me, I think... That we have a possibility, but the willingness is the one which is stopping us. And I don't know, the commitment which we don't have in ourselves to do things. We wait for somebody to come and tell or do it for us.
Yeah, one of the challenges that the acting head is saying, we don't have financing. There is a financing gap. We don't have money ourselves. That's what exactly I'm saying. We don't have money now to fund that gap. So we sit and wait, you know, for someone else to come and say, definitely.
But the money is available there. We are talking about what? 16 billion, what? Let's go and borrow that money, then we use it ourselves, and then we start supplying the energy.
Yeah, money is available. Also the things that you ask yourself. And as I said, this is where now you go deeper into this. Is this, you know, sometimes, you know, when you hear a name, you are in an area where everybody all around the world, everybody's talking about, this is the direction we are going. You understand? This is the direction we are going. And you want to fit in the group. So you have to come up with things that somehow, you know, fit into that, but you're not committed to it. You're not even willing to put your money into it. If someone else comes and want to do that, fine. But yourself,
you are not committed. That's the problem I say. We are not having commitment to do our things on, because we don't believe in ourselves to come up to be a global supplying energy in the region.
Yeah, and we have that opportunity.
We don't believe in ourselves. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Once you are doubting yourself, you are not going to do anything because we don't want to take a chance. Isn't it?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's better to take a chance because everybody's talking about Namibia now. I'm telling you, everywhere you go, it's Namibia this.
Mm-hmm.
But ourselves, we are not looking at ourselves. We are looking outside to come and implement whatever they want to do. Then we just follow. Or we become, how can I say? Support the gamers. The young woman, I'm tired. The money come back that way. No, go Benja Kukono.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Auchi na mwana ina mwana sinya ngashinga uditanta popi when you know when the people now the world is talking about and someone comes to Namibia and said, "Hey, you guys, you know what we hear about you and you are poor?"
This is a small population like you guys. How can you be so?
How are you
living in the ghetto?
Our poverty index is really high, you know, even in the region.
Yeah.
So very soon you're gonna go and you go to country, you know, and ask, please. We drought comes or something like that. It's kind of like, okay, please, we need you other countries to help us. But not long a time ago, you were talking, you have these, you have that, you have these, and there's a booming into this. And now you're asking, people probably asking, you know, what happened here? You know?
Yeah.
And even ourselves, we kind of like, it's one thing where you're saying you are rich, and this is what, you know, I'm putting in a simple way that you are saying you're rich, but he's a really rich guy. But the coach, that's Namibia, you know?
Yeah.
You're putting a kuna tita and get jamon. Didn't go,
No.
Oh, enough with the school fees.
I'm not going to be able to do it. Almost about 7 years now. From the later Hage. Now we are talking about 7 years. But if you go to the ground, I'm telling you, there's not much been done.
As we speak, I mean, just something I was going to say, I think down the line. As we speak, there's no a legal framework that actually govern this whole thing. You understand?
That is the thing now.
Yeah. So
the policy even in the cabinet, we don't even talk about it in one parliament, like a debate to come up with a policy or how we are going to protect our energy.
Yeah. So
nothing.
So you can ask now, what is guiding the negotiation that you have? How do you make agreement and deals based on what? Even when you're talking about local, when you're talking about now local content.
Local participate.
So, where do you refer to in the act when there's not an act? You know?
That's the problem. With,
so sometime, I think on the Aishang, I'm going to talk about it.
But now, even yourself, you will be scared to invest in because you don't know which direction now.
Exactly. That's the big issue.
Now you hit
on the nail. You actually hit the thing on the nail because the investors, you know, they when there's no when there's uncertainty, they hesitant to invest, you know.
Yeah, who's going to put this money away?
Yeah.
And they even know the country in the map, how they are doing when it comes to corruption. So person will think about twice before investing his money.
Definitely. Yeah.
That is the problem. And as serious when you are talking about even like wind, sun, guys, serious, I think we need to change the way we are doing it at education level.
Yeah.
Because up to now, my friends, we are not even talking about wind, how to come up with the wind power energy, how we are going to store those terminal, which we support even to have already producing ourselves. We are talking about solar panel. We support already to start already in the process of how to do to come up with your own solar panel instead of importing from China.
Yeah.
What we need here, we just need the Chinese are here, the experts. Why we cannot bring the Chinese who can teach us how to produce solar panel?
Imagine, we're saying, the thing is, the funny thing is saying we have all these things. But if you look at our energy bills are going up and up. And why do we talk about that we have this and that and still there's nothing that we're doing.
We are not telling anything, nothing. We are just talking we are just talking the way we are me and talking to you now. That's how our parliament they are also talking.
Yeah.
But just to come and say the guys, hey here, wind convocation, start telling this guy to come up with a simple technology how to produce a turbine to come up with wind power. And the solar panel, guys, put up with this so we can produce our own panel. Because the moment we are buying, I remember at that time, and then I even questioned, and I think it's on the social media, Minister Negundi saying, no, we are buying what? Floating bridge for the past come up for the past 10 years or whatever he say. And I was like, guys, this is an investment that to China.
Yeah.
Why you don't buy that one, then you copy and paste it? What that is why the Chinese are developing their country, because once they buy a tire for you from the tire from you today, they start how to maneuver this. And then next time, you see the Chinese are already producing 2 or 5 out of your tire. Why every time we just have to go think only from buying?
The cleverness, the cleverness of the Chinese is exactly what you're saying. They, as they are here, do you know, they do things that we need.
You know?
Exactly.
Usola ikava to trape nyu chajiro ni mayuri mungo. You know, omanda. Omanda. Pefi yotumwa ali no manda o shike?
Oshike. Watu wapo ngoma.
Watu wapo ngoma. Oni ma winyo. Okanda. Kaningwa nare karongwa nare kafokanda. You know. So they honestly just see what is the problem? What is the problem? What is the need in this? What is the need in this? In this yeah, sector or whatever.
Community. Yeah. Even you, and you know why we are. Last time we are complaining that they said no, guys, we cannot just allow even this Indian to kill our business. It's because those guys, they our own business. They need. They saw the need of the people in the that community. That's why they come up with a katak shop. And now you have a Chinese and Indian following. And
the thing is this. The thing is this. We are like the South African. We are like South African who now, in terms of xenophobia or something like that. Foreigner comes. They see a need. They create a business. And now you realize, wow, you know, actually, now they are taking away our jobs and things like that.
And the money and everything. Yeah.
The things like in Namibia, we're talking about Nandokuli.
But we don't want to invest in that.
Exactly. I know. This is what I wanted to say. I want to say, like, take for example, a running group of people, a running group of company. Yeah, yeah. You know, we have many Namibians. What do they do? They just come up with ba.
I'm telling you.
You turn anyways, but why don't you put together and put up many minis like this that have been put up by Rani? You understand? So then we started.
The funny thing is that even you, Michael Wood, we know is well off, saving money.
Yeah.
Mike is coming to compete with the Kakuka shop.
Yeah, exactly.
He's putting a bad day. We do know that the Escobar is not even making more money. Maybe instead of we say, no, Tate, what is you needed? Can we, because I know you have a customer here. Maybe I'll bring my jackpot, I'll bring what? I'll put a snooker there so we can entertain these people. Then we can make an extra shop here.
Yeah.
Even just a katak shop.
Next to your bar, because then more people are coming this way.
It's not even a person for people. If you come to Evelyn, that is what is happening there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, then people are finding the potential, some they're bringing the KFC. But our own black people, they're supposed to do that long time.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Sometimes it's our own. We are our own, and then when we complain, no, this foreigners, we have this Indian everywhere or China everywhere. But we,
you know, why I'm always taking you back.
Yeah,
it's me with you guys kill. It was potential to do that because people who know how are people who don't have money.
Yeah.
People who don't have money, they don't know how.
Yeah,
and they are not even seeking the advice. Because sometimes, I'm looking even at our business people. How many of them, they even try to conduct the student with a UNAM or political IUM for business idea? Just like a competition, we're running maybe for 10 students, one class. Say, guys, I'll put 1,000. We'll come up with a good session. You win it. You never find them. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But they are there wasting their money. What an anago to gavile joga kashona malotu ya totulapo. But totulapo shike. Oh, okay. Totulapo nembalo la kula. Totulapo. Oh, nima. Nanatango. Malo, what would these people are kavene AM?
Yeah.
Hey. Tell me, how do you generate, how to do recover your money from?
But the other thing is just how many are you there? How many are you there? There are about 10 bars, in the same area. You can't just focusing on the people that you know. So the people that know me come and buy from me. And you know, that's why you find that there's nothing comes out of this bars. You know? Yeah.
So I say, what?
Yeah.
And but for me, for Namibia, serious, I think they need to go for that loan.
Yeah.
Because the moment, sometimes we are not, we know we have a problem with our high unemployment. And I know with this green hydrogen, it's not really to change much.
Yeah, but the problem is the other point that I was going to make now, the long term off take agreement, because you need agreement, you need this company, you know, the off take agreement is when they're now, when you have a foreign buyer, and normally these are now, you know how we started, we had German, we have Netherlands, who signed a contract saying, yes, we will buy your green hydrogen for the next 15 to 20 years. So when you have that, is when you now you'll be able actually to start. Yeah. You are guaranteed.
Exactly.
Yeah. And at this point in time, we don't have that.
You see now.
Yeah.
And why we have to cry like about so much, we are too much like advertising all the world.
Yeah.
About green hydrogen. And sometimes I remember even we have a state come out to go and get it on. Oh, from Sweden or Denmark, somewhere there.
Yeah.
Hey, how can you get your own that you know you are not even secure that who is going to buy energy?
Yeah. So you may take a loan, but then you don't have the offtake agreements, you know?
Yeah. You see now.
Mm.
That is the problem. So I think that first of all, let us secure the agreement, the contract agreement, then it's there, we can take a loan.
Yeah. So, but the problem with that, the initiative is not from us. The initiative is normally is actually from the German, from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
If they are not pushing, then the whole thing is actually at a standstill. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they are the client who actually looking elsewhere. They're not just looking at Namibia. They are Morocco. Mm-hmm. They are Mauritania. Mm-hmm. They are South Africa. So they're looking at...
I think they were sales in Kenya.
Yeah. So they're looking at other... And they kind of see, okay, where do we get it cheaper? You know?
Mm.
Here they don't even have the infrastructure. They don't have what is. Yeah, they are still far away now, in terms of the... Mm. You know? Yeah. So there's so much. Realistically, when you look at it, sometimes people are talking and you're kind of like, okay, you know, really?
What I heard last time. And for me, the thing also is that when you look at the geographic location, we're still having a good chance.
Yeah.
But the problem is that willingness of our government also.
Yeah.
Because we are stating a lot. Instead of spearheading this.
For me, the thing is this. Okay.
Mm.
First of all, can't we make, because of the problem that we have an energy problem, you know, we have an electricity problem. Can we not do what is enough for our country? Not looking at maybe producing for Netherlands, for Germany or what. Can we for just produce for our own, you know? If we have these resources, and can we not use it for our own? Can we not invest in for our own? We don't need invest coming from outside, because if it's really believed that it's going to improve your industrialization and all that, can you not invest in just for our own consumption?
It's what I was trying, like last time I said, no, guys, we cannot have even like an ampa, we cannot produce more than 500 jobs in the annual base. And the people who are getting more much, especially the manager, the top manager, they are getting so much money when it comes to their salary.
Yeah. Unless
the ground, we do not see anything.
Yeah. Unless this is biomass,
you know, even the waste which we are electricity.
Yeah.
But what are we doing? Nothing. That's why I'm saying, guys, it's a hard time. Our institution of government also to come up with initiative with really contributing even to employment.
Yeah,
because now
exactly.
People are just waiting for defense. They are just waiting for defense and the police.
And the police.
To recruit.
Mm.
Because they are the ones who are taking up numbers. But if you look, how many prosecutors we have for government with support to cater for Sasingengo Atare, if you come back, then you look at even in the old days, you look at the manpower, you look at the losing. And you look at the what Green Acre, I don't know what Green Acre tend to now.
Yeah.
Those are companies who used to take up number of people every year. Even including Transnamib.
Yeah.
But those, now they are failing. Every time we had to trust them, they bail out and left and right.
Yeah.
And the other company also. But really, they're supposed to do something. They're supposed to come up with an issue. When even you're talking about like what investment, we can look at it. Money which are still standing like from what? JPF, Social Security. We have also what do you call them? This Kalahari, whatever, funds with, Why we cannot put that money together and then we say how much we are getting there? Then we invest, we can sell those solar panels at what? To Nampawa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then wind power also, we do the same.
Yeah.
But we are just able to look some outside for loan. And that money now, the government is going to owe a lot of people money. Mm. Who will come in the next time and say, no, I want to have this Nampot. Then you are, because you are forced to.
Yeah.
You have to give it up.
Okay, let's cover a few things and then you're most welcome to come back again, you know. So let's cover some of a few things quickly. Yeah.
Okay, sharp.
Mm. All right. Yeah. So yeah, just to finish a few things, just to give you a bigger, broader, you know, other issues that are there. One thing that I was talking, these are now the challenges that the acting head is actually highlighting. So financial gap, financing gap is one of the main challenge. The other challenge is a long-term offtake agreement, something that I was just saying now. Now, and I think this is a big one, okay? And sometime I'm trying to understand this tension where we're saying we actually have shifted gears. You know, that mean when we have shifted gears, we're not foreign driven anymore. We're not foreign need driven anymore. We want to focus on our own need. I think that's how I understand it. But so the offtake agreement is, as I said earlier, is when a foreign buyers, usually we're talking about now here for in Namibia in terms of Germany and the Netherlands and Japan, you know, sign a contract. They sign a contract saying, okay, we will buy your green hydrogen for the next 15 to 20 years. So, and without those now, without those signed contract, the bank don't release the big loans. You know, they need to see that, you know, otherwise the bank won't release the big loans. So without the big loans, now, the plant that we want don't get built. The plant that we want won't get built. And without the plant, you know, if you follow the logic, there will be no jobs. And so this is the domino. I think this is the domino at the front of the line. And that's why I said this is a big one, actually. This is the domino at the front of the line. So we need those signed contracts. Otherwise, you know, you see the ripple effect. So of that, the domino of that. So, and right now, as we speak, right now, those contracts are still being negotiated. Yeah? They're still being negotiated. And without sign of take deals, my friend, the financial model does not work. Yeah? The financial model does not work. And right now, the global green hydrogen, as we see, you know, when you read around and all that, is still finding its feet, you know? It's still finding its feet. So the other challenge, the head, the acting head of the green hydrogen program, the other challenge is infrastructure. Okay, we are talking, you know, we're talking ports, we're talking pipelines, we're talking power lines, we're talking water desalination plants, you know. So, and when you look at the country central valley city, Nerongo, the near Wavish Bay, maybe have much of this kind of things. But the southern valley, for example, and the northern valley,
those are, in honestly speaking, to be honest, has this has been has historically been left behind in terms of development. These are some regions that have been, you know, left behind in terms of infrastructure development. So do we have the road? Do we have the rail? Do we have the port capacity to handle industrial scale hydrogen export? Do you understand? Not yet. Not yet. We don't. Not even close. So that's why that, like, when you have someone like this who actually then indicate that these are challenges, it gives you a realistic, the truthness of this whole thing, you know. And then you have, you know, sometimes then you have then the politicians who, you know, who talk about, you know, we will be able to do this, we will create 30 jobs, we will do what. But, madam, did someone sit you? Who wrote you this? Did someone sit you and realistically tell you this? There are challenges, and maybe talk about how we are going to deal with these challenges to be able now to get to that 30,000 jobs. Maybe talk about that. This is what we're going to do to get to that job, because, you know, it's like this. Because the people don't know the detail, it's easy to tell them what we are intending. This is what we're going to do, and that's because they don't know the details. You understand? It's easy now for you to believe because there's nothing else that you know. Okay, there will be 30 jobs that will be actually created. But when you read between the lines, that is a daunting task. It's an absolutely daunting task. So would that be possible? With given this challenge, I would say nope. Not even close. You know? You look at where you are today, that you couldn't even make up how many? You couldn't even per year, you couldn't even employ this number of people per year. How would it all of a sudden next year, which you don't even have a legal frame yet in place, a legal framework in place, all of a sudden now you have all these things. Eh? It's just practically just... Eh? So the Southern Valley, as we said, is in the region that, you know, we talked about that it lacks. Historically has left behind in development. So, and there are a lot of things that they don't have, you know. So, and when you look at this, this is really about, this is nation building scale infrastructure. Eh? And now you go back, look at our development budget. Look at our development budget. You know, we're talking about nation building scale infrastructure. Now, you go to your development budget, realistically now go to your development budget, would it be able to do that? Is it catered in the budget? You know, and when we talk about now nation building scale infrastructure, it doesn't come cheap. First of all, it doesn't come cheap. Secondly, it's not something that you can do quickly. You understand? And you have only 4 years left. Eh? And you have only 4 years left. So, and even the government say it is concluding, it's conducting studies and stakeholder consultation. So that means there's still actually consultation that's going, the studies that we haven't started yet. Which comes first? Now, 3 years in, we are 3 years in, being finalized. And the skills, you know, the skill development strategy is still being finalized. You know, I put that in inverted comma. 3 years in, is still being finalized. Meanwhile, the projects already breaking ground. We have already projects that are breaking ground. So, who is doing the work today? This is a challenge. But who is doing the work in today? What does that tell you? So, are our young people in the queue? Do they have the skills? Are our young people in the queue? Do they have the skills? Or are we importing expertise? Are we importing expertise while local people, while local actually carries the wheelbarrow? Yes, go there. You'll find them actually carrying the wheelbarrow. Yeah? So we create the circle. We create the cycle, my friend. Yeah? I mean, you cannot now think of this now. This is a cutting edge hydrogen, you know, economy. You cannot run a cutting edge green hydrogen economy with a workforce trained from traditional industries that we normally have. The skill gap is a problem. And it's urgent. It's something that's very urgent. Our TVET colleges and universities, they need curricula aligned with this sector. Something that we should have done already. And also, when you have to think about it, it takes time. This is not something you just sit and then put together a curricula and then boom, that is it. Well, you should have actually the lecturer, you should have the facilities that will be able you to do that. So there's so much. When you think about that, that takes time. It takes money, which we don't have. Or we might have, but maybe we don't know how to use it. So, and most importantly, that takes political will. Yeah? And political will, we talk about people who understand where we're going, where we have a vision, you know? So, yeah. So those are some of the things, some of the issues that the update was given, you know, where we are, the progress that where we are in terms of green hydrogen program. So, and here's the part that should make you really think twice. I alluded it to talking to Mandume, the policy and legal and legislation governing this entire industry. It's still in a draft form. It's still in a draft form, my dear listeners. 3.5 years after the strategy was announced, the rule book is still being written. Now, the interim head says, so who decide? Now, think about this. I mean, who decide? So who decide what is going on? So who decide how much the profit stayed there? Now you see, now we're looking at this is the profit that will come out of this, maybe. Yeah, man, who decided how much of the profit stay here, for example? What is your guidance? Who decide on the water rights? Okay? Now on the water right that's gonna be used and all that, who decide on that? You don't have the rule books. Okay? You don't have the rule books. On the land use, for example, on the environmental safeguard, on the local content requirement, and that's a very important one, on the local content requirement. You don't have the rule book. Do you see the problem here? Right now, those answers are being made, you know, they are being made as we go. Eh? They are being made as we go. So you make it up as we go. Come on, guys. So, and the strategic environment and the social assessment for the Southern Valley is only being concluded in June this year. Yeah, in June, I think. Yeah, next month. So the Central Valley assessment is still underway. So before we even fully know the environmental and social costs, the train has already left the station. The train has already left the station, my friend. Is that a smart pacing? Eh? Or is that putting, you know, it's like, how would I say, you put the donkey before the cart. That's exactly what we do. You're putting the donkey before the cart. Yeah. All right. So yeah, looking at it more globally, the green hydrogen market is hot. It's really, really hot. It's like other things, the critical mineral. It's really hot at this point in time, but we are not taking advantage of that. So it is hot, but also volatile. It is hot, but also volatile. Yeah. So
a very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Namibian participators, so what are you guys saying?
But you can't participate without without a framework that give you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think if you look at us, you are saying the people that are investing in the bar. When you have funds, when you have capital to start something, you're looking for something right way.
Yeah.
But nobody share good information, or even you yourself, you don't see that this is what people need, because
But that's what business is all about. You bring in something that people need. Otherwise, you're not going to last long.
Yeah, that is what now the seller fish of the investors.
Yeah.
So, but on the look of things, the how do they call it? The mental what?
The what?
That colonial thing which we have. It's the one that is make people. If I come to Mike for business ideas.
Mm.
You look at what I come with. So you don't put up something new to me.
Yeah.
So that is where now Namibians are failing. So they are just, you know why we are blaming that, you know, that time we were used to making money.
Yeah.
It's because there was no open door for other participators.
Yeah, who are mightier than you. I mean, if you allow China's now to come and do exactly what you're doing, there's no competition.
Like that's what you are saying. Okanda is no more.
Yeah.
But where are you going even to getting those Omifua and others?
Yeah.
Where are you going to get it? You don't have. We don't have any more, what?
Kakuna limit. There's no more trees and all that. I mean, there's even a law that prevents you from cutting trees anyway.
Preventing you that, traditionally, people were like this.
Yeah.
So, if I'm Australian, go to planting a komisati. That the others, when they want it, they are before they come to me.
They come to you.
Money.
You know what? You remind me something. You know, when I was a young boy, we used to go with Catholic priests, you know. They go to churches and we are these altar boys. Now, one of the priests was actually planting omifsati. But they go in the mission, and we were laughing. We were kind of laughing at him. How can someone plant a omsati? As we speak now, the mission is actually those trees are big trees now.
You see, no. That's what I'm saying. On the look of things, I see. And the problem also, we don't sit and talk and debating.
Exactly.
We are just criticizing. Criticizing is for those people who are not observing, who are not analyzing things.
Exactly.
But if you are with me and you criticize, I might end up cutting you just for me to say I'm going somewhere. But because of that, if you are criticizing, what is now? Bring up something now.
Yeah.
So that we can polish it and and published into the public so that they can maybe come up with something.
So there is that criticism of you just put a blanket on something without really going to say, I'm criticizing this law that actually preventing what, you know, where you go into details where people also can be able to see, oh yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, rather than it just, these people, man, they don't know what they are doing. They that kind of blanket, you know, criticism.
And that is what is even in the government.
If
you look at the oil industry, if you look at the oil and gas sector there, where are people now going to the workshop? All of them are just criticized.
Yeah.
They don't come up with something that they can help the government to.
That's the easiest thing to do. That's the easiest thing to do for us sitting here, so and I can easily criticize. Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot come up with like Angolans who are not participating with the oil because of the law.
Yeah.
Eh? You cannot come up with something like Libya, who are just government is the one that is everybody is relying on.
Mm.
No, you have to come up with an independent body like Nigeria.
Yeah.
Eh? So, inviting those guys, tell the people the truth, not come and criticizing the foreigners when they are coming in.
Yeah.
Foreigners just saw opportunity. Eh?
They saw the opportunity and they have taken it.
Eh? It's the same as this issue of logistics that we are having in Namibia.
Yeah.
You have just come up with the Trust Namibia criticizing, I was doing that. Those guys for the truck, they saw the opportunity.
Yeah, can you just hold on for a few seconds? Yeah, we have an advert coming up here.
Imbaya riri ombo nai etetawe rako ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha njiviro yoye iriri ombupu ohatane na wina nikare na masa kumurungi wa indu waliro ngere kusha umune ondenguo kuura kwa imba una ovi une vya peke o ondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe sto twika ovi ingi nukukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva o peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva o peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente mirongo ivari na dano Kumyeze murongo na ivari moshimarifu Itororela ondengu Chima yu ngura na wakove Na wina onyamu kife Ashiesho imba Ke kupe oshimariva Sishihina omarufiro Imba o maoronga neno Uyebu haka enina Itako na wina rishangika Jinyon
All right. So what you're saying is what I was actually saying, that, you know, we complaining like, oh, okay, these Indians, they just have, you know, they have minis all over, but you have bars. Mm-hmm. You chose to put bars all over instead of, you know. Yeah.
And them, you know what, they started it, even the prices that you guys are putting in.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah? So if you are making bread $21, and you are buying this bread for $9. Eh? So the whole $12 profit. So the person come and putting $3. Eh? And then you're making the bread $15. So you no more getting customer. This one is called itself, I come to bail it people out of this thing that you are creating.
Hmm.
So at the end of the day, that's a competition. And the regulators are also not look at how you're putting up that price.
Yeah.
Them, they are just look at, let us know, consulting the public. I want in this community to be here, or I want the community to be chased out. Everybody says, 9 out of 10, they are saying, let the community be there.
Exactly.
And that is what now we are having. I remember that the time of 7:50, one of the businessmen calls and said, why Pumbo have to give money to South Africa? And I was saying, what nonsense is this now? Is this person really understanding what he's talking about?
Yeah.
So when I end up saying, you know, listen, if Pumbo give money to the people that are doing business in Namibia, you understand?
Yeah.
Even the Katombo shops, the Kuka shop that were closed, when they saw the 750, they opened.
Yeah.
How can you say it was given by the South African?
People are already depending in ShopRite. They can go and buy ShopRite.
Yeah.
They can buy KFC because they are depending already on that. Yes, the money can go to South Africa, yes. Yeah. But that is who are giving us service when we have.
Yeah.
So when I don't have, I don't go there. But if I have, I go there. You see now?
Yeah.
That is where the difference with Namibia. And I look at it in the government. That is where the problem is. Even people, they are not talking about job opportunity. They are criticizing.
Yeah.
And when they think started to work, it's benefiting who? Foreigners.
Yeah.
Mm. And that is what's happening to South Africa. So this xenophobia thing, it comes because the job opportunity in South Africa is open everywhere.
Mm.
But unfortunately, South Africans are not qualified, are not reached that level.
Yeah.
So the people are hired what? Foreigners.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not even hiring. It's actually foreigners come into the area and then they create business for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I'm saying, guys. I'm really wanting to understand. I approaching one of the business, those the Nalobe guys.
Yeah.
I approaching them. They said, no, I want us, you and me to sit in the room and talk about this. Let's forget about something, but let's talk about this first. Because there is a low material in the north that need just to processing on the other side and saving those sides. The guy just said, no, let us fighting for the red rain. I said, oh. And then, sorry for that. I will not do. You didn't listen to what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You're already jumping. And you hear every day the government says, it will take years for us to remove that cotton.
It might not even be removed, you know.
It might not even be.
Yeah, so, it might not even be removed.
Mm-hmm. That is what I'm saying, Mike. When we are unpacked, please let us be the eyes of the public.
Yeah.
Let's not focus on criticize. Let us really saying why you are saying, like, I remember that day, I was appreciated what you are saying, that the journalists sometimes, they just liking to operating parties, but they never inputting anything that is making people to changing their mind.
Yeah.
Because changing their mind is something that is needed, to be honest. Especially in Namibia, people are just fighting for something that they don't understand.
Mm.
I was even yesterday in the meeting, one of the meetings, but people are defending something that is, and the others who are not having voices, they were wanting to listen, and they say, thank God this thing has come to us because it's bailing us out of the problem.
Yeah.
But the one that have voice, they are the one that said, we don't understand.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
We cannot do that.
Yeah.
We have to keep it. I said, it's not helping others.
It's exactly what I'm saying. Like when you look at the minister or an official talking, and one thing I appreciate what I'm saying, I appreciate this, the person who is actually now the acting head of the program, he's actually telling these are the challenges, you know.
Yeah.
But on the other side, you have actually politicians who said, oh, no, we will have about 30 job created. We will, but he doesn't. I said, whoever put up this for you, did he actually go through what, you know, some of this information? So if you can tell me that, you know, this is what we're intending to achieve, but there are challenges, and we are doing this to create, to actually, you know, to deal with these challenges, then you give a bigger, a proper picture of what is happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, I'm dealing with this thing, and it's really, I went in now office to office, but nobody's understanding the issue. You know, we have a problem. Sorry for maybe go out of your topic, but...
It's all right. If it's giving a light to what we're talking about, it's fine, yeah.
Yeah. So this issue is about the title deed, you understand?
Yeah.
There is no office in the Minister of MURD, Rural development, and the local authority.
Yeah.
We are guaranteed, we are giving people health, you understand?
Mm.
But we are not giving hope to grow wealthy on that.
Yeah.
You understand? So this title deed office, registration office, is on the Ministry of Land.
which is very far from the person. If you're giving the person you guaranteed him health. You understand? So I'm saying, guys, if you look at Katutura or Oshakati and Okereze, there are no people that is owning those houses. Why? Because there was no office of title deed.
Yeah.
So the one now that they as I said, the undefended is the one that is saying, wow, it's a good idea. But this one, the one that is supposed to be remanded and considered, they said, no, this is okay. I said, what is the hell? What, when are we going to go out of this?
Yeah.
It's something that you never even sit alone and read all those policies and look at what is the loophole, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So those are the things that I'm saying. It's not only in the public that are complaining or criticizing, even the people in the government.
Mm-hmm.
Even some of the ones that are reading the police, they are the ones that are creating, criticizing the police.
Exactly.
So at
the
end of the day, it's not benefiting Namibians, it's not benefiting the citizens, but you are the one who, why is those, if you look at in America or UK, public, they are happy for the what? For the politician, because they are making easier for them.
Yeah.
But here in us, even in our program that we unpack, we are not giving them hope or making them to think twice.
Yeah.
So, Mike, let me not finishing up the time, but I'm really, really saying, you cannot talk about Trust Namibia, while the people are innovated into the level that the track are reaching tomorrow in Oshakati.
Yeah.
While the train was supposed to take in 2-3 days because it's going to pass in Umaro. So, and Grootfontein. How now? So those are the things that when people are getting opportunity to make it easier, don't think about why they are profiting more. No. That is the innovation we are talking about. We are having a pole line telecommunication. Now we have wireless. So those are the things that we need to think. And this is sort of saying, let us maybe come up with a factory of making solar system.
Yeah.
You know how many money and how many resources that you need to
be. Exactly.
Where are you going to get? How many countries do you need to connect and supply with those components?
It's
a lot of countries. So that is now Chinese, they make it easier because they send the people everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
You understand? Namibians, we never even sending business people to go to Cairo or to go to Venezuela or to go so how can we going to creating that? Yes, I understand that you can setting up a factory. Yes, you can. Construct it, you can do it. But the materials for you to start planting that thing, it will not be easy.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Now, thank you for your contribution, man.
You're welcome, my brother.
All right. All right. 0833-66091. 0833-66091. If you want to come through and have your say as well. So your contribution, that's, we want you to, you know, what the whole idea, as we say always, is to, you know, open as we try our best on the show. We want you also to contribute to, so that you tackle certain areas that ourselves may not be paying attention to, you know. So educate in a way that open our mind to reality, you know, and talk about the real issues, bread and butter, you know, bread and butter kind of issues that contribute to the direction of a betterment of this country. So I was talking about, you know, looking at a bigger picture in terms of the green hydrogen, because we're looking at the update that we received from the when there was this, the EU, Namibia EU, you know, business forum. So globally, in how we see that, how the things are going at the moment, the green hydrogen market, it's really something that Europe is focusing on, but it's also volatile. Okay, it's also volatile. The International Energy Agency has reported that many announced hydrogen projects worldwide have been delayed or scaled back because the cost, you know, scaled back because the cost of producing green hydrogen is still much higher than gray or blue hydrogen made from fossil fuel. So yeah, that's still where we are. And recently there was something I didn't get into it in too details, but there was also something because of the war in the Middle East. I think that's a person pushing more for the green hydrogen in terms of to say, look, it has become at this point it has become much cheaper, you know, compared to the fossil fuel. So, but I need to see that to go that into details. But when you're looking at the report, especially from the International Agency and Energy Agency, said, well, scaling up has gone back a little bit because of the cost of producing green hydrogen. So, it's still higher compared now to gray or blue hydrogen that we get from the fossil fuel. So Europe, Europe is now our biggest potential customer. You know, they are our biggest potential customer, has been also tightening subsidies, you know, and pushing harder when it comes to negotiations. So, yeah, so Namibia is actually entering a market that is, well, excited. It's exciting. It's exciting. But, you know, but nervous as well. Nervous in the sense that, you know, you have to know what you're doing, you know. You have to know what you're doing. So, because the other thing is that you have to understand that, you know, our neighbors are not sleeping as well. It's not like we, you know, this is just you're the only one, you know, with all these resources. So they are not sleeping. We have South Africa, we have Morocco, we have Egypt, you know. We have Mauritania. Those countries, they are all chasing the same European hydrogen, you know, dollars. Eh? We are chasing the same dollars, and some of them are further down, actually, are further down the road than us. So it really requires a lot of commitment, a political will, and, you know, a commitment in all aspects. So yeah, so the window is real. I think the potential, there is potential. The window is really real, but it's narrow. It is narrow. With all the challenges that we have been talking about, it is very narrow. And from the way we look at things globally as well, it's closing. It is actually closing. It requires that, you know, more than just, you know, rhetoric on a public podium. So, yeah, if we quickly look at what we have been discussing, just give you a little bit of maybe things that you can walk away with this morning on in terms of this. So, is that the green hydrogen in Namibia? I mean, as we know, that's a real, you know, we can touch it. It's something that is happening. There is money moving. You know, we know that there is money moving. 9 projects in motion. We have already 9 projects that are in motion. Almost 1,000 jobs already created. So, yeah, that part is, it is not a fairy tale, okay? It's not a fairy tale. We see that there are things that are moving. There is some sort of progress. Even it's very, very, very on a lower scale, on a small scale. Now, but the promise is far bigger than the delivery. When you look at what has been promised, when we're talking now, we're not only looking at current administration. We also go back where this started. So there was this really big promises. You know, the promise is far bigger than the delivery. So what it has delivered so far, it hasn't met up to what it has promised. You understand? So there could be reasons, as we talk about the financing gap that we talked about earlier. You know, so then we have to be honest about it. Okay? We have to be honest about it. So that's why I'm saying, you know, the promise is far bigger than the delivery. 30,000 jobs by 2030, it's a mountain. That's a mountain. And right now we're still actually on the foothills, you know. It's a mountain. We're not even somewhere in the middle of the mountain. We are at the foothills, at the very foothills of the mountain. So that's where we are. And it's only about 4 years actually left, you know. So, yeah. And there are other issues as well, like the legal and policy framework. So it's still being drafted. So those are still being drafted. But the issue is that it's still being drafted while billions of dollars, it's committed. In commitments are being made. So there are billions of dollars in commitments are being made already. So now you ask, that is a risk to every ordinary Namibian. You know? So, yeah, how are our interests are protected? That's the question. How is our interests are protected when there is a framework, a policy framework, a legal and policy framework? So, and the biggest threat, I think the biggest threats are not technical. Okay? The biggest threats are not technical. They are contractual, infrastructural. So those are the biggest, you know, threat. Infrastructural, contractual, and educational. Those are the biggest threat. The offtake deals, port, pipelines, you know, and having trained Namibian at hand, you know, we don't. Those are the real challenges. Yeah? So we need Namibian trained hands, you know. Those are the challenges. So the world is... But the other thing is also that we need to understand is that the world is not waiting on us. You know? So they are not let's wait for Namibia to have all these things sorted out, their port sorted out, their pipelines, their whatever, you know, they are trained, they are Namibian trained or something. They're not waiting on you. You know? As I said, other African countries want the same price. Yeah? They want the same thing. If we drag our feet on legislation, well, if we drag our feet on skills, on infrastructure, well, we could end up exporting raw potentials and importing Finnish disappointment. Yeah? No, seriously. So, yeah, that's where we are at, at least, and... okay, so yeah, that's we are on the same event. So there was also this. Do you remember? Maybe let me go back a little bit. We still have a couple of minutes. Still about 9 minutes. It's enough to put this into perspective. So now, so in 2023, the late Tate Geingob shook hands with the EU president and signed a strategic partnership. Now, the deal, Europe need a green energy. They need a green energy and critical mineral to power their cars, their phones, their factories. You know, and Namibia has, what do we have? We have the sun, we have the wind, we have the lithium, we have with the rare earth, we have the uranium, you know, the green hydrogen potential. So they agreed to dance together. Okay, we agreed to dance together. Now this week, at the second Namibia AU Business Forum in Windhoek, they extended that dance until 2030. You know, and they threw out the numbers, you know, $17.6 billion Namibian dollar in trade in 2025. 46, you know, 1,000 jobs supposedly, you know, linked to our export to Europe. I'm saying supposedly. And the first $78 million, you know, project at the Uis mine to dig up lithium in partnership also with Finland. All right. Sounds like a love letter, you know, when you look at that. But love letters can also hide, you know, death notice. So we need to read between the lines. Okay, let's get to... missed that one. All right, so we need to read between the lines. Let me tell you a story. Okay, let me tell you a story. This is a story probably you already know. Your grandfather knew it, and your grandfather lived it. Yeah? So if we talk about 500 years... the deal between Europe and Africa has been simple. You know what? It has been simple. They come, they take, they go. That has been the deal. That has been the way, you know. And sometimes they take gold, sometimes they take gold, sometimes they take diamond, sometimes they take people. You know, sometimes they take people. And we must not forget, we must not forget that. We must not forget that part of our history. So, and sometimes they take copper, sometimes they take uranium, you know. So every single time they wrap up it up in beautiful languages. They wrapped it up into beautiful languages like civilization, you know, development, cooperation, partnership, you know. The vocabulary changes, you know, the arithmetic, you know, stays the same. So, now, in 2026, the new word is green transition. That's the new word. Europe must go green. Europe must build electric cars, you know. Europe must wean itself of, you know, Russia gas, you know. And suddenly, Africa back on the menu. We are then back on the menu. So we are back on the menu. Not because they love us more. It's not because they love us more. Because they need us more. Eh? It's not because they love us. It's because they need us more. So, I ask you, my listeners. Now, think about this. When someone only remembers your phone number when their car breaks down, is that a friend? Or is that Is that a passenger or something? You know? Good morning. Good morning.
Yes.
Welcome to Unpacking.
Yeah, maybe just 1 minute.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, for your question, reminding us the way we come from.
Yeah.
And what we are doing currently. Yeah. I think even our co-founder will see that they done even better than us.
Yeah.
Because now, if you look, it was by force people to be taken away to go to Europe. But now we are dying even to cross the world. We are dying that Mediterranean river and the Red Sea.
Yeah.
To cross the other side. Not by our willing, not by force anymore. Look, after Germany, they found out that no, the Russian, they cut off their gas. Where they land to? They come back.
Yeah.
It's what I'm saying. If you are Namibian, you need to stand up what is your right. You're supposed even to send the German, first of all, they are genocide money.
Yeah.
So we can build, at least even now, what you are talking about, the green hydrogen or whatever, you're not supposed to be a German initiative. Supposed to be ours toward the European market.
Yeah.
They're supposed to even get involved. As long as they pay our money, then we're able to come up with the oil in our green hydrogen or whatever. What is we're supposed to demand? First of all, repatriation for genocide. But we are not even doing that because I think we like Germany so much than our country.
So let me round off, man.
Okay, yeah, sure. That's all.
Okay, great. So when we talk, that SUMEP copper, for example, went out raw for decades. Eh? Went out raw for decades, came back as a wire we couldn't even afford. Rossing uranium. The Rossing uranium powered the French light, while Ochimbingwe sat in the dark. Our diamonds, where do we cut them? We cut them in Antwerp and polish them in Tel Aviv and things like that, and sold in London, you know? While the boy from Gibeon, the boy from Gibeon is still riding a donkey cart home. You know, this is not bitterness, okay? This is not bitterness, people. It's not bitterness, my dear listeners. This is history. A history is the cheapest teacher we have. Someone actually told me something like that, that history is the cheapest. I'm stealing it from someone. History is the cheapest teacher we have, which is true, you know? And so the question is, are we students or are we still in detention, you know? Are we still in detention? Yeah, so there are a couple of things. Time it doesn't allow for us to go through that. We should have actually maybe looked at. Yeah, but what I wanted us to look at, the article that we have in the villages. So we looked at that. Okay. So we looked at that. And, so that's bring us to really at the end of unpacking the day this morning. And thanks for listening. I know you were listening. And, for also those who actually make sure that they add to the value of the program where when they come through and have their contribution or react to what we're discussing, you know. So we appreciate that, and we want you to continue doing that, because that enrich the program. What we do, we go and look for information, do some research, you know, try to, you know, go beyond the headlines. You know, you could be we're discussing a topic that you're an expert, you know, and we would love you to come through, you know, come through, add more, give direction, you know, correct where we go wrong or where we say things that are out of out of line or whatever. So we want you to continue making this program what it is, rich as it is. So you're trying to come in through. I mean, we honestly come into the end of the show, or maybe something. I always try to pick up. There could be something, an emergency, and sometime you are tempted to pick up and find out. Good morning,
Mike. Good morning. Are you going now?
You are late, my dear friend. Yeah, I'm just kick off. Yeah.
No problem. All I'm saying is that you are also enriching us. You are developing us. You are equipping us with this information that you are researching.
All right. No, I appreciate that.
And we appreciate the platform for all those things that you are doing, people.
All right.
I don't know how much it has transformed people like myself, but many other people.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for being there for us.
Yeah.
Correcting data and interpreting them and helping us to, you know, for curiosity for us to learn.
Okay, no, that's good. God bless you, man. No, thank you, man. Yeah.
I'll tune on to the one that's coming.
All right. All right. Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. You know, it's also good to hear someone telling you that, okay, you guys are doing a good work, you know, which we appreciate. It's encouraging us, everybody, every person. You know, wherever you are, you always need that, that pat in the back, you know, so that, okay, good job. You need it from your boss though, you know, and, All right, guys, it's a holiday. Hopefully you're resting, and go to service, go to church. You know, it's a church holiday, it's a religious holiday, so you need to fulfill that obligations as well. So make sure that you go and attend some services, you know. And remember, IMBA, download the IMBA, IMBA app, so that you don't look out of the place. Whatever hymnal they choose, you have it. And sing louder. Sing louder looking at your phone, okay? Just to show them that, yeah, we have moved on, man. You don't need a book anymore. All right. So have a good one. Until tomorrow, man, I will leave you in the hands of Tate France, coming up with Kuthamosha. And stay tuned. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye.